And of course, Thursdays is when we talk movies. We do it with Mr. Michael Jones. I was about to say for the first time for 2018, but you were doing it while I was away.
That's right. I've been seeing another breakfast guy.
I'm comfortable with that. I'm very comfortable with that. Now, we are kicking off my reign of this with a bit of a bang. You've got three films for us.
Three films. A lot to cram into 5 or 6 minutes, but let's go for it. We'll start with The Shape of Water. This one's going to be nominated for quite a few awards.
Yeah.
Already has won a few awards at various festivals and stuff. So it's got Sally Hawkins in it, Michael Shannon, Octavia Spencer, Richard Jenkins, Michael Stuhlberg, and Doug Jones. Probably never heard of him. You won't actually see his face in this film. But
don't tell me I haven't heard of Doug Jones.
Maybe you haven't. Anyway, this one's written and directed by Guillermo del Toro. It's about Elisa, who's played by Sally Hawkins, and Zelda. They work as cleaners in a top secret research facility in the early 1960s. Elisa's mute, which is probably why she chooses to work the night shift. And then one evening, a strange creature, played by Doug Jones, is brought into the facility under the care of Agent Strickland, played by Michael Shannon. He's a pragmatic, ambitious, and ruthless man. When no one else is around, Elisa starts to form a bond with this creature. The Shape of Water could be described as a fantasy romance set against a background of anti-communist paranoia and the burgeoning civil rights movement in the United States in the early 1960s.
It's a lot to pack in.
It is. And there's other social issues as well that come up in this film too, so I won't reveal them all. Look, it's very much an alternative take on films like The Creature from the Black Lagoon, which came out around that time. These films that played on the fear of the other. But this film sort of asks, who really is the monster?
Love it.
Yes. Anyway, The Shape of Water also has a very European and almost French feel to it. If you saw any of those films directed by Marc Caro or Jean-Pierre Jeunet, like Delicatessen or The City of Lost Children or Amelie, the colour palette and the set design will seem very, very familiar to you.
I thought it looked very City of Lost Children.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like Sally Hawkins is lovable as Audrey Tautou. Sorry, the lonely Elisa. And Michael Shannon also makes a really great villain with lots and lots of layers. And look out for Richard Jenkins too as the timid, misunderstood artist. So many issues explored in this film. I guess you could say I am gushing about The Shape of Water. It really flows along quite nicely.
Love it very much. Del Toro has always been obsessed with what if the girl got the monster as a boyfriend as opposed to was kidnapped by the monster. I think this is kind of perfect for him. And Doug Jones, of course, almost basically replicating Abe Sapien from Hellboy.
Quite possibly. Yeah. But I won't reveal too much.
All right, go on.
Let's move on to The Commuter. This is one we've both seen.
We have seen this one, yes.
Starring Liam Neeson, Vera Farmiga, Patrick Warburton and Sam Neill. This is directed by Jaume Collet-Serra. Liam Neeson, or Michael McCauley as he's known in this film, is having a bad day. The former detective, now insurance salesman, has just been let go. After a few beers with former cop buddy Patrick Wilson, McCauley boards his commuter train back to the suburbs to tell his wife the bad news when he's approached by a mysterious woman, played by Vera Farmiga, with an offer that he just can't refuse. No, not to appear in yet another action thriller. He has to identify one passenger on the train and he'll get a significant sum of money. Of course, it's all too good to be true, and McCauley has now found himself on the Death and Destruction Express. He really is getting too old for this shit. More than once, McCauley points out that he is 60 years old. But Liam Neeson's pact with the devil to keep starring in films like this about a guy too old for this shit is obviously unbreakable. So Liam Neeson goes through the motions again, managing to punch a few bad guys' tickets along the way. A slight twist is that he's not quite so invincible this time. He does take more than one beat down and is filled with self-doubt on occasions.
Mm-hmm.
But he still manages to extricate himself from one absurdly dangerous situation after another. Now, look, whilst The Commuter does offer a slight detour from the regular Neeson action movie route, this film never really threatens to run off the rails and makes all the usual stops.
It does, and yet it was still vastly entertaining in its own unique way. Well, less than unique way. Completely less than unique way is what I should have said. Oh, look, I had a fun time with it. It's non-stop set on a train.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Look, I didn't have a problem with it. But, look, I hope he shakes up sometime soon because another January Liam Neeson action film. I take it back. It's almost something to look forward to.
It's become almost a January tradition, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been. Neeson is the reason for the season.
I guess so. Let's move on to an Australian film that's coming out this week, Swingin' Safari. I think you've seen this one too.
I have.
This one stars Guy Pearce, Julian McMahon, Radha Mitchell, Kylie Minogue, Asher Keddie, Jeremy Sims and young Atticus Robb. It's written and directed by Stephen Elliott. Now, Swingin' Safari is Stephen Elliott's loosely biographical account of growing up in a small Australian beachside suburb in the 1970s, told through the eyes and the Super 8 camera of 14-year-old Jeff Marsh, played by Atticus Robb. Jeff likes to film his mates on the street doing dangerous stunts, but is only just becoming aware of the sort of stunts and action his parents, Gail and Robb, Keddie and Sims, are getting up to with the Halls, Pearce and Minogue, and the Joneses, Mitchell and McMahon. As someone who spent a bit of time growing up in the 1970s, I was really looking forward to this film, but when I saw it, I realised that Stephen Elliott also directed Welcome to Whoop Whoop and A Few Best Men, and that Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, was 24 years ago. Let's just say that subtle humour is not Stephen Elliott's strong point. If you enjoy chaos, hysteria, and people shouting at each other all the time, then maybe Swingin' Safari is for you. Elliott likes to beat his audience over the head with rapid-fire 70s nostalgia, sort of disguised as humour, like lots of beanbags, waterbeds, unsupervised kids playing with firecrackers, safari suits, more nylon clothes, fondue sets, crap on sale at the school canteen, KFC boogie boards that stuck to you, key parties, It's Time ads, and more. Which actually left me wondering what time or year in the 70s it actually was. A whole year seems to pass by during the course of the film, yet the weather never seemed to change at all. People were running around in shorts the whole time. Some people will find Stephen Elliott's admittedly loose recollection of growing up the 1970s campy and hilarious. I found it relentlessly superficial, vapid, stupid, and most of all unfunny. This Swingin' Safari left me bored and swung over.
No, I see where you're coming from, but I actually have a lot more affection for it than you do.
How? However, why?
I really quite enjoyed parts of it. I really thought it was actually quite funny in parts, except there felt like there were two different movies. There was the movie about the young filmmaker and his friend and their very, very serious friendship. And then there was a comedy about families, and they felt awkwardly shoehorned together. I'll give it that. But overall, I had more affection for it than I didn't.
Well, I'm glad someone in this room liked it.
Mr. Michael Jones, we will leave it there. I'll keep my opinions to myself next week. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.